This week in Your Parents' Basement, we're eating the meat of others in order to live and evolve. From 1993, we're playing EVO, Search for Eden by Al Manick. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me is the man who evolved from a dinosaur. It's Huell Hauser.
Did you laugh at me? Do you think my body looks funny? I know you're laughing at me. You make me very angry. I am going to defeat you.
Actual dialogue from the game. And our other co-host, he's still trying to save up evolution points for a new horn. It's Todd Brisket.
Hey y'all, how are you progressing? Don't worry, I'll help you evolve. You may call me Crystal.
It's an interesting take on an alien device.
Ethnic dialogue.
You can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe to it on iTunes and give us some stars. Also, please support the show by using our Amazon click-through link at www.ypbpodcast.com. We need to pay for the tuition to Bovine University. Today's game is EVO, Search for Eden, from 1993. In the late 1980s and early 1990s, there were basically two Japanese companies that did most of the RPGs for the NES and SNES, Square and Enix. While the former rose to prominence with Final Fantasy, Enix's big series, Dragon Warrior, didn't have a 16-bit release in the US. Instead, Enix served as a publisher or translator for many niche titles like ActRaiser, Ogre Battle, and Soul Blazer. Amongst their 11 games for the SNES in North America was EVO, which was an action RPG that let you evolve from weaker animals into more powerful ones. You basically hunted other animals to get points and use these points to buy new body parts like jaws and horns and legs and all that kind of fun stuff. Huell, you're always a special guest to me, so why don't you start off the discussion for us?
Oh, thank you. As we've discussed, I was not a big Super Nintendo player in my ute, so this is my first time around. Although I did purchase the cartridge legally, of course. But I played it for the first time, and I love the concept of this game. This is very
Oh yeah,
unique.
this is a strong
Obviously,
concept game.
yes, a very detailed oriented game. So you start as a fish. And as you eat your way through other fish, you gain points, and you can spend those points to upgrade yourself and quote unquote evolve your fish body form to, I guess, get stronger or move faster or things like that. So as you upgrade different parts, you get more abilities, and gameplay is pretty straightforward, but I think the different ways you can upgrade mix it up a lot.
Oh yeah, you're glossing over the story here.
I'm
This is a
sorry,
story
yes.
deep
I'm
story
sorry. The
driven
deep story,
RPG
yes, of course.
where the story of this game is incredible. It's
Please.
Soul, aka the sun, has a daughter named Gaia, and Gaia is a floating, smoking hot lady with
Yeah,
blue hair.
smoke show.
Smoke show.
Ooh, and Gaia, it's her job to create life. Five times. Something like that.
Deep story, deep.
Deep.
Something like that.
And so as your mission in your billion year life is to become the best animal. And if you do, you will transcend livelihood and go up and live with Gaia in eternity.
Yes.
Yeah, I clearly buried the lead on that one.
It's the story in this one is just kind of bizarre. I don't know if it was any better than the original Japanese, but I kind of doubt that. It's kind of it's you're evolving and getting more powerful, but obviously it's not that realistic. So
Well, obviously it's not, because this is not how evolution works, since we all know evolution is a myth. So
Yes.
this fantasy game is good. It's good for
Yeah,
video
this is.
games.
I mean, it's a. It, this whole game was a hoax,
Sure.
perpetrated on people by
Yeah.
the devil Satan himself.
Oh, I mean, it's good for just pretending and playing around, and I mean, you got plumbers jumping on little creatures, so it makes sense that you could in some other game, you could just pretend evolution is a thing. So yeah, it's a good fantasy backdrop.
Yeah, it's like pretending that there's that one game where you pretend that Islamic people crashed the planes into the buildings on 9/11.
Oh, jeez.
Is that a game? What game is that?
It'd be nice if we could go
Call of Duty 4.
Get through one episode without the 9/11 reference. My God.
Ooh. This might be the fastest one. What are we, five in maybe?
Yeah. To kind of touch upon the story aspect here, because we're probably not going to talk about it ever again. The game is split into essentially five stages. According to Wikipedia, I don't know how true this is, but it's the world before land, which is fishies. Early creatures of land, which is basically amphibians, lizards, that kind of thing. From there, you get the Mesozoic area. I don't know how to say
it. Mesozoic?
Yeah. Mesopotamia.
There you go. Chapter 3 is the Age of Dinosaurs. That's the simpler way to say it.
That's when all of them dinosaurs are jumping around.
Yeah, hell yeah. And that's the funnest stage.
If only I could have made it that far.
That's where the game gets good, actually. Like, really good.
Yeah. The fourth stage is the Ice Age, where you get to go around as a little mammal.
The Ice Age?
Yeah, because spoiler alert, at the end of the third stage, meteors kill all the dinosaurs. It's actually weird, and you can choose not to evolve after the third stage, and you can beat the game as a dinosaur. Or as a bird, because in the third stage you can turn into a bird. A bird dinosaur. And fourth stage is the Ice Age, where you get to play as a mammal. And the fifth stage is you still play as a mammal, but you're allowed to do these special evolutions that turn you into either a human or a mermaid, if you are the correct classes for those kind of.
No.
Or you can just stay as kind of the most powerful thing. To me, it's this weird rhino-looking thing. So,
yeah.
This is a game I beat as a kid. I don't know. Brisket, if you ever played and beat this one as well.
I've never beaten it myself. I get somewhere around the second stage,
mm-hmm.
stage of evolution, and then kind of give up.
Yeah, well, I got that second boss. I just did not know how to beat that thing. I guess I could have looked it up, but
which one are you talking about? The bee or the amphibian lizard kind of
thing. Well, I guess it's not quite the second boss. Well, yeah, in stage two, the second level, I guess, there's that bottom part. That
are
bottom.
Are you talking about? Are you talking about De Bustega? The strongest of the Ikustega family?
Yes, in fact. It's the guy I quoted at the top of the show.
Yes.
His body looks funny. But yeah, I mean.
But you laughed at him, so you made him angry.
It's my fault. I got what was coming to me.
Oof.
But yeah, I could not beat that thing.
Now let me share something a little bit here. There is actually a trick to the combat in this game, which is the fact that you can evolve at any point.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever you evolve, you regain all of your hit points.
Oh, I did that.
Ooh, sneaky. I didn't know that.
So yeah. So you can just the cheapest evolution is normally, and the one that has the smallest effect on your character, is just to lengthen and shorten their neck. It normally costs like 200 or 400 points. So
yeah, I guess I got to save more points up beforehand,
mm-hmm.
before the battle. Because that's what I ended up doing on the first boss. I had like 1,300 points left over. So I think I just didn't have enough points during the boss battle to really lengthen it.
Yeah,
because that was my strategy in the first one.
Mm-hmm. You should increase the girth.
Yeah, I hear that is the most important quality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the girth.
They have the paint can neck option.
I mean, everyone talks about the length, but
mm-hmm.
we all know.
fun times. No, and I guess, at least for me, that's kind of what I did. Like, all of my points early on would go into the jaws for the respective characters. That
oh,
way,
yeah.
that
Get
way,
some damage. Deal damage.
Yeah. And then if I needed, you know, if I needed to regain my health, I would normally just, you know, do one of the other lower grade options to upgrade. The bosses in this game are pretty tough, though. They're radically tougher than all of the other enemies until you get to the
Oh, yeah.
Third stage or so.
Yeah, there's like a trick. There's a trick to the bosses, but at least the first one. But I could not figure out the trick to the second one, and then I just gave up.
The second one, there isn't really much of a trick. I mean, if you evolve unconventionally and you kind of prioritize speed and quickness, then you can kind of like run around and just jump on them. Like you can jump on enemies to damage them, but it takes forever to kill them.
Yeah, I think my second upgrade was the tail, so I was a little better at jumping.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's anything else that makes you faster. So yeah, what are the parts you can upgrade? Jaws, body, which I guess is better defense.
I'm looking at the list. It's
list, okay.
Jaws, horns, neck, body, hands and feet, dorsal fin, tail, and back of the head.
Ah.
And depending on what stage you're in and also what parts you already have, you can't always choose one of them.
Yeah, I did think it was funny you could upgrade hands and feet while you were a fish, but not while you were an amphibian that had hands and feet.
Yeah.
Yeah, the game is somewhat arbitrary in that way. And the other big issue is that you should definitely save before upgrading to something new, like that you're going to spend a lot of points on. Because some of the higher price upgrades do not actually improve you that much. I'm thinking specifically in the third or fourth stage, the one of the jaws upgrades actually is weaker.
Insane.
Yeah, I'm not really sure why it's there. And also some of the other ones, like some of the body upgrades, you cannot have some of the attachments with them. So while one of the body upgrades might give you better defense, it takes away like your dorsal fin adaptation that gives you +6 damage, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And the game, you know, it's a Super Nintendo era game. Because of that, the game isn't so great at showing you what the different parts will do to you. It's basically trial and error and save and reload.
Yeah, I think it explains in the beginning, like one of those crystal things.
Mm-hmm.
And then never again after that.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's only that one time explanation for one type of creature, and
yeah.
It's not like there's not really much of a tutorial. It's basically two or three easy stages at the beginning of the game.
Well,
so.
There's always the old standby, the instruction booklet.
Did you read the instructions for this one?
Of course.
Oh,
it seemed like a complicated game, so I wanted to at least get the instructions down.
Now the instructions, I've only glimpsed the screenshot or a photo photograph of the actual instruction booklet, but it's not even a booklet; it's a fold-out poster that has the evolution paths you can take.
What?
Yeah, that is a separate. Yeah, that's a separate add-in. They do have that.
I did not know that existed. I'm one of the 50 people who apparently owns the cart of EVO. So.
Yeah, and I've read that. I've only glimpsed it. I had to squint to even try and read the heading of the page. But it apparently it helps out a lot when you're playing the game if you have that chart.
Yeah, I really should have consulted this while I was playing. See, it even grades like from A to E, not F, but A to E, like how important or effective the different upgrades are.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god! Like Brisket, I didn't even know this existed. Now I'm looking for it, and I can't even find it on the internet.
Oh no, I searched for like an hour looking for it, and I could only find a tiny zoomed out picture somebody took, so I couldn't even see the details.
Oh, that's some bitch.
Yeah, I just sent one.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, I searched for.
Oh my god, that's so cool.
This came with the manual I downloaded or bought legally.
Oh, that would have been so helpful when I was a kid.
Yeah, I should have read this more while I was playing.
Oh, God damn it.
Oh, Wells.
I mean, the thing is, I do own this cart, but I think it was a straight up swap for I want to say it was either Secret of Mana or one of the other RPGs I had. So it was just cart for cart, so I did not get the box or manual for this one. But no, this chart is very helpful. I'll have to link to it on the post so that people know what the hell we're talking about. No, good times.
Yeah, I should have got better defense.
Well, I will say, in this game, defense does not actually help you that much. Like, because pretty much everything is a glass cannon by the end.
Well, it lowers how much damage you take, right?
It does, but your hit points never really get much past 100. So it's much more important to be able to dodge and to kind of dart in and attack and dart out. I will say, unfortunately, for the most part, the game does have you playing mostly as like quick, nimble little creatures. Like you can't really play as like a T-Rex or a big hulking lion or grizzly bear or anything like that. You're mostly limited to smaller mammals, I don't know, like rats, and later in the game, it's hard to even say, like, I don't know, what's smaller than a panther, like a lynx?
I don't know. I wasn't ready for this quiz.
Me either, clearly.
A leopard?
Yeah, I guess.
A cheetah?
Bobcat.
Kitty cat.
A wolverine.
No, no kitty cat.
Yeah, but mostly smaller predators like that are the best creatures you can evolve into in this game. Oh, and also in Chapter 3, you can turn into a bird and you can absolutely fly. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and also there's a secret. If you do get the flying
Ooh.
powers, if you're on the main map, there's some cloud that's floating around, and if you wait for it to go above you, you can go up into the cloud and you go into like a space stage where you're flying through an asteroid belt.
What? That's
This
insane.
game gets nutty. This game
Yeah.
gets nutty.
Nutty is a good description.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean the actual plot of this game is that there's you are the kind of the avatar of Gaia, like you're her representative who you're trying to evolve normally.
Very, very normally, yes.
Yeah, well, relatively, there are also aliens in this game, and they are the ones seeding the Earth with crystals.
Yes, a Martian civilization created the life on Earth.
Yeah, and they're just trying to be nice. They just want to be like, oh, we'll help you guys evolve. But a creature called Bolbox, Bolbox, he is like consuming tons of these crystals, and he becomes a gigantic single-celled organism.
He has the hanger.
Yep. At the end of the game, the end boss fight, you're up against Bolbox, and he basically it's basically a mini boss fight with 12 other, I think it's 12 things that he morphs into, because he's basically like this big slime creature kind of thing. So he turns into like a T-Rex that you fought earlier in the game, and a bunch of other things. So it's not super tricky, but it's definitely impossible unless you use the hit point replenishing trick I said. So.
Yeah, luckily, yeah, you have a little mini map, so you play levels along it. But luckily, you could replay levels to kind of stock up on evolution points.
Yes.
So I was doing that a lot, just to get more upgrades and to stock points for the boss battles. So
Oh,
that's useful.
it's definitely this game does require quite a bit of grinding
Yeah, I would say so.
to get
Because
points.
I got to the second boss a lot faster than I had anticipated. Like it seemed like the first one took longer, or at least I got more points beforehand.
Oh, the second, well, Huel, I actually think you're talking about there's like a dozen stages in that second stage, a dozen levels in that second stage. And there are, I think, two or three bosses in it.
Second boss to me, I went left on the minimap, and it was just, as Todd said, the big amphibian guy on the rocks.
Oh, yeah, well, there's him, and also at the end of the stage, you have to fight these goddamn bees.
Well, that would be the third boss.
And they are not fun. Like, they basically dive bomb you, and you have to either jump on them or bite them at just the right time.
Flying enemies, as we've always said.
Yeah, they're the worst. And the third stage, the third stage actually doesn't really have a proper boss at the end. You just have to fight off a bunch of T-Rexes until the meteors come.
It's more of like a timing boss.
Yeah, but it doesn't really give you a time countdown.
You know what?
If I'm remembering
on the on the poster that I sent you, it actually has a list of bosses.
Oh.
In chapter 3, it says you must, for Tyrannosaurus, you must defeat 10 bodies.
Yeah, that.
I think it says.
That would make sense.
10 bodies, yes.
No,
because I didn't send you the second page. Sorry.
Oh my god.
My fault, guys.
10 bodies.
Mm-hmm. That would make sense. I always thought it as a kid that it was timed, but it would make sense that you have to kill 10 of them to advance.
Their bodies were not ready.
No. Well, they refused to evolve. So
clearly,
yeah. I think
that's what this game is about. Other species holding you down. They don't want you to. They don't want you to rise up. They want to keep you in your place. They don't want you to have the power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the first boss kind of said that. Like, why are you helping these other animals try to evolve and get to the surface?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, yeah. The
Tyrannosaurus. Yeah, 10 bodies.
Yeah. One of those Tyrannosaurs.
Yeah, the first boss is that he is essentially a great white shark.
No, they kind of spoil it with the bull box reveal with this picture here.
Well,
yeah, there he is. Bull box just hanging out. Chapter 5.
Well, I mean, on TV Tropes they have this concept that's called a great flea monster from outer space, which basically refers to any endgame boss that just comes out of nowhere and it's the first time you're meeting him. And oh, by the way, this is your end boss.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what it feels like here. Like, you never meet this guy, and here he is. Kill him.
Yeah, by the way, I've been in control this whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like, why bother? Like, you could have just made it an actual, like beast or something. Like, the chapter 4 boss is the Yeti mother. Yeti.
Yeti, yeah.
Yeti.
Well, the Yeti become the Jedi eventually. Mm-hmm. But
Return of the Yeti.
Yeah. Oh,
great movie.
Oh man, somewhere Discovery Channel executive, he just got a bonus. It's like what can we follow the Search for Bigfoot show up for? Huh. I know, Return of the Yeti. So.
They heard a little bell.
Mm-hmm. I just made them $1 million. The bosses in this game are substantially harder than most of the enemies you're gonna run into. I mean, chapter 3 you do run into some T-Rexes are just in random stages. But for the most part, the regular enemies just will walk around and be happy until you bite them and try to eat them.
Yeah, then, that's right. Yeah.
Then they get a little upset. They get a little cranky. Like the worst part in the dinosaur stage, you can actually bite like the brontosauruses like 3 or 4 times, and they just keep happily eating plants. Then finally, they notice you when they're on the verge of death. So. It's kind of exactly like A Land Before Time.
They're passive, Steven.
They're just sweet little baby boy dinosaurs, and they just want to eat their greens and be on their way. But, you know, it's an eat or be eating kind of world, guys.
Gotta get them points.
Yeah, that's what I learned from EVO.
Yeah, you don't get points from plants.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, if this game was released nowadays, I'm sure there would be some kind of herbivore or...
Where's the vegan dinosaur option?
Yeah, or an option for a pacifist run in some way. But, yeah. But no, you basically have to eat the crap out of a bunch of animals in this to move along.
Yeah, the vegan one would take like 5 times longer.
I don't even know how you could do it. Like you, in certain stages, you have to beat the boss, and you can jump on some enemies to beat them, but in the fish stage, you can only bite them. So,
mm-hmm.
You can use your horn. You don't have to eat them. Oh, yeah. You have to upgrade to get that. You have to get Evo points to get your horn.
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, you could just bite enemies and then not take their meat. But
that makes sense.
I know.
That's still, a senseless slaughter, Steven.
You're still killing.
Like those Jawas.
I mean, this...
Always come back to the Jawas.
I mean, this game does rival the Jawas when it comes to genocide, except that it's you only kill enemies like at one, two, or three at a time. You don't have access to automatic weaponry to really put a dent in their numbers.
Well, you're technically... extincting entire species, one would say.
Well, kind of. I mean, when you beat a stage, you like I don't know why, but Gaia just skips you ahead to like the next era.
Yeah, you quantum leap through this door.
Yeah,
yeah.
Into a new body.
Yeah, and it's like, well, if you could just leap me ahead to the end, that would be great.
Yeah, just go ahead and take me up to Bulbox.
Yeah. Yeah, why am I dealing? Why am I messing with these dinosaurs? This seems dangerous.
But so, your next leap could be the leap home.
That brings you home. That lets you evolve into a human at the end.
Now,
of the game.
I know that they you go into space and you find out about the Martians in this one, but I think they should have put it in a future millennia. They should have like future creatures.
Mm-hmm.
One more stage.
Taking that another step.
Yeah.
That would have been pretty cool.
Was there a sequel?
No.
I guess I can get into that now.
Well, real quick before you go there,
yep.
When you're talking about the millennias and the billions of years in this game, I think this game is one of the games that has the longest time span in a single game.
Oh.
The only other one I could think of... So, in this one, it spans like 4.6 billion years or something like that. Mm-hmm. The only other one I could think of is Spore, which supposedly is over billions of years, but I don't have much experience with that one. So
I think
sure.
you start as like a cell or like an amoeba, don't
yeah.
right? Or no?
Yes. In Spore, you start as a cell.
Okay.
And you build up from there. I forget the individual stage. You go from cell to organism, that's all one stage. Then you evolve into these weird looking creatures, and from there you go to like the real time strategy portion of the game, and then the sandbox mode, I think, is the end, where you're going from planet to planet and colonizing and that kind of stuff. Although the problem with Spore really is it's not one awesome game. It's like four crappy versions of better games. It's like, oh, it's a real-time strategy game not as good as StarCraft or Warcraft, and it's a colonization game that's not as much fun as, I don't know, something like Master of Orion or, you know, one of those colonization games. So it does a bunch of different little things badly.
Mm-hmm. And that is what I've heard, and that's why I've still not played it.
I played through it like two or three times, just as different things. But it was more of like it's definitely way more of a casual thing, like The Sims, as opposed to something like Civilization V, or even Civ 4 or Civ 3. Now the history of this fine game here today, EVO, it was actually based on a Japanese game from 1990, which I can't pronounce, but maybe Brisket can.
Yeah, so I don't have, it might be the same name, but what I have is 46 Okunin Monogatari Harukanaru Idene.
Yes, that is what I have.
That's a mouthful.
The literal translation, according to Wikipedia, is 4.6 billion year story to distant Eden. Which is kind of, I don't know, kind of the same. I don't know. The title for this game is stupid.
Yeah, and what does EVO stand for?
Yeah, I've written that down, and I didn't know if we were going to cover that.
I do not see anything here.
What was that voice?
I don't know. I felt like I was trying to do Mayor Quimby for some reason.
I thought it might.
I just started out with I and then just embraced it. No,
let it wash over you.
There's nothing on Wikipedia about what EVO stands for. And it definitely, it is an acronym. There are periods after each letter.
Yeah.
So
they made a point to put those in there.
Made a point to put points in there. And no idea what it stands for. It was a niche game in North America and Japan, so it didn't have a direct sequel, unfortunately, because a next generation EVO, it could be really freaking sweet. That's what I kept thinking constantly while playing this one, is that I would like this game just on like PS4. Whether we're talking about like a 2D side scroller or actually like a, you know, kind of a 3D game where you could play as an animal and like evolve yourself into better animals. That would be really cool.
I've done a search, and apparently it stands for emergency vehicle operator. So, that answers that question.
Yeah.
Emergency vehicle operator was developed by Almanac. I don't know how to say this, which is only around from 1991 to 1997. Here are their other North American games. Fighting Masters for the Mega Drive.
Sweet.
Have you actually played that?
No.
Okay.
No.
Mazen Saga Mutant Fighter for the Mega Drive. Shien's Revenge for the SNES. And Cosmic Carnage for the 32X. With that list of games, it's not surprising that the company quietly dissolved in 1997. while EVO did not get a direct sequel, something like PC's Spore could be considered a spiritual successor, although most new games don't really have its focus on individual animals. Like, even in that one, there's not a ton of customization available that affects how you play the game. Like, you can give yourself stupid tentacles and, like 15 eyeballs, and they do not affect how your creature controls or anything. So
stupid tentacles.
Yeah, it's surprisingly rigid for a game that, you know, seems like it's a wide open sandbox game. You know, there are kind of more customization options in EVO, and there's kind of a cult community around it. Like people who, you know, they make elephants, they make deer, they make all sorts of weird little creatures. I don't know if you guys actually fiddled around with this, because we didn't play this one for obviously months before doing a show on it. But there's a database in the game, and you can save any of the monsters you create into the database. Just so that you have their stats and their info. And then with the green crystal, you can turn back into that monster at any point. Even across games.
Whoa.
Oh.
Whoa.
Yes. So it's a nifty little replay thing if you're gonna play it again.
Yeah, I did notice you could save them, but I didn't know what purpose that had. But that's actually really cool.
Just to take a look at him again in the future.
Yeah, I can play. I can play as Buttfish in my next game.
Yes. You are allowed to give them names too, which is
Anus the Amphibian could make a run in level 3.
Is that what you actually named it? Oh my God,
that's most of my characters in every game.
Anus the Fish, Anus the Frog.
Balls is usually my go-to for Link.
Anus the Aardvark.
Ball sack.
Boobs.
Boobs is a good one.
Oh, I can't argue with that.
If they have allow you to put in first name, last name, I always go with Tits McGee.
Yep. Solid.
What about Chesty LaRue?
Butts McFart is always good.
Oh, jeez. We've got off the rails, guys.
Something for the kids.
All of the 13-year-olds listening. I'm sure they'll love this. And hopefully they didn't pay attention to our 9/11 references earlier.
Well, they don't get it. They weren't alive then.
Yeah.
Good point. Good point.
We're just trying to educate them.
Yes. By the way, this is I don't know. I don't know if we're going to play any of the other Enix weird games that they brought over. But this is yet another one. I don't know if you guys ever played ActRaiser, but that was a fun.
That's on my short list to do in a future episode.
Oh, maybe we'll
that's one of my all time favorites.
Yeah, they kind of for a long time they specialized in these weird quirky games before they got bought out by Square in 2003.
Enix had quite a run on Super Nintendo, if I say so myself, because you got ActRaiser 2, you got Illusion of Gaia. Mm-hmm. I wonder if it's the same Gaia from Evo, the Search for Eden. You got Ogre Battle.
Yep.
Solid. Terra Enigma, which is solid.
Yep.
Got some Dragon Quest games in there. You got Star Ocean. You got some good stuff there, you know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, and even before then, obviously their main moneymaker early on was Dragon Warrior 1, 2, 3, and 4, which were huge deals in Japan and less so in North America. I kind of feel like they may have been marketed wrong, because Final Fantasy managed to kind of get root, like kind of flourish in America, and Enix just stopped trying after a while. Let's see. They also had quite a few good games for the PlayStation, ranging from Dragon Warrior 7, Star Ocean, Busta Groove. They were behind those games. And then in the PlayStation 2 era is when they got bought out. But even PlayStation 2, they did Grandia, and they did a new Dragon Warrior game for PlayStation 2. So, you know, all sorts of neat little games here that kind of nowadays Atlus kind of does those games. Atlus in Nippon Ishii, if you've ever heard of them.
I mean, yeah, they do the Disc Gaia series.
Yes, I'm guessing, Huel, that you have heard of none of these games or companies.
I spaced out a long time ago.
They're all if they are not story driven RPGs, they are quirky anime style RPGs. So
even more things I hate.
Yeah, they are very fringe games that can be fun, but they all of them are bizarre. So, like EVO is actually one of the most approachable, like easy to get into games that they have. That Enix did back in the day, so.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're fundamentally just playing as animals, so. Mm-hmm. Just animals, man.
But even then, they try and go crazy with the whole Gaia, daughter of soul thing, and the aliens, man.
Yeah. Well, you know. Aliens, of course, have played a fundamental role in Earth's development. I learned that from the documentary Prometheus.
Right. Yeah.
So.
And Independence Day.
Yeah, exactly. We are either being helped by and evolved by aliens, or we are fighting them off with MacBooks. There's really no middle ground.
Once again, going back to Independence Day.
I mean, it is weird. Like, the aliens never want to come over and just, watch a game or like borrow some sugar, except for Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And even then, it's only some aliens that are nice. Other aliens are dicks. Want to build a highway through the Earth. So, man.
We mentioned Ogre Battle, and one of the games in that series has one of my favorite video game names of all time. It's called Ogre Battle 64 : Person of Lordly Caliber.
Oh. Didn't know they made a game about me.
The Hulhauser story.
The second colon.
That is I had that one growing up, and that was a really solid game too. I only sold it a couple of years ago because
Okay.
I've never played it. I'm just reading the plot here. It says just the first line. It says the story follows Magnus Gallant.
Yes, it does. It absolutely does. Except for the absolutely ridiculous character names, it is actually a pretty good story with some twists and whatnot.
Ooh, some twists and turns.
Yeah, some little twisties. There, you didn't mention some of the other names, like Frederick Raskin.
Yeah, Frederick Raskin. I see that here.
Yeah, and there's also actually they don't have much of a plot section up here on the old Wikipedia. Like there's a like one of the first missions in the game is about you almost turning on your friend, possibly. So, there's lots of intrigue, there's lots of backstabbing going on there. So, but those Ogre Battle games though are ridiculously complex.
They
Like,
are, but they're a delight to me. They're
oh
right up
God.
my alley.
Like they're I cannot in good faith recommend them because they cost like if you want a cart version of any of them, they cost like $1 million now, and they're not really that easy to play. And there are modern games that kind of do what they do better, like Final Fantasy Tactics and those kind of games. Fire Emblem, play those instead. You don't have to mortgage your home to purchase them. But anyways, Brisket, did you have anything else you wanted to add about the old EVO?
No. It's a good game about fish.
Yeah, pretty much, essentially. What about you, Huel? Anything else you want to add about this game here?
I think Todd summed it up pretty well there.
He did touch upon all of the issues. The only thing I wanted to add is since I don't think you guys get to this part, there is one goddamn maze in this game that is not fun, and it's impossible. And it kind of comes out of nowhere. It's in the shoot, I think it's in the fourth stage where you have to go through a fortress of birds, guys. And every other dungeon in this game or stage in this game is kind of pretty straightforward. You go left to right, or you might, have a few twists. This one goddamn bird fortress has like these warps that send you all over the place, and every aspect of the stage looks the same. And it made me stop playing when I was a kid, and I only beat it again when I tried it again as a later teenager.
Yeah.
Because I had a lot going on in my life then. So,
Really?
yep.
Or you were just smarter.
Clearly.
No, I do hate when you're trying to navigate something and they send warps to warp you all around and you just lose track of where you've even been.
Yeah, and there's
That is
no.
a gaming peeve.
Yeah, and this is not a game that has like an in-game mapping system or anything like that. And even with this bird fortress, Like there are not really landmarks that can help you like realize, oh, I've been here before. So it's mostly trial and error, and that one dungeon is by far the hardest thing in the game. So, because everything else you can kind of work your way through. So, all right. Well, that concludes my remarks as well. So, let's move right along to the emails here, guys. Huel, did you receive an email this week?
I did, in fact.
Oh.
And when I checked, I looked at the from section, and it read Scooter About 42.
Oh, Scooty.
So they write, "Dear YPB, what a fun time talking about Duck Hunt. It's one of my favorite old games. Using the zapper was so fun. Feeling the smooth plastic in your hands. Feeling the weight of the weapon. The power as you pull the trigger. Knowing you can take a life if you are skilled enough to get it in your sights. What's your favorite thing to kill in a video game? Sincerely, Scooter Butt 42. So, a lot of options, you know. Lots of different enemies.
There's, I would say a majority of video games are about killing.
Yeah.
One could say. Even the one we've just discussed.
I will go with the classic and say there's nothing better than jumping on that Goomba.
Ooh.
Oh, that is a good
one. That is a go-to. What about jumping on the Koopa and then using its corpse to kill its brethren?
Oh, that is another good choice.
Well, if we're talking items used to kill other people in video games. Video games, just to be clear.
Not sure if that's the question, but go ahead.
I like nothing more than getting into that big boot in Super Mario Brothers 3 and trapezing over enemies.
Yeah,
trapeze.
Yeah, you can get that boot on and start curb stomping those Goombas.
Yep, it's only in that one goddamn stage, but it is a lot of fun. I don't know why they made a boot for just one stage, but man, it's a hell of a ride.
So you're also going with Goombas?
Well, non-Goomba edition. I don't know why, but it's very satisfying in Castlevania to whip the ghost in the first stage.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The ones
that just keep coming?
Yeah, they just walk right towards you to their death. I don't know. Maybe it's just satisfying because you know everything else in that game is like horrendous and is hellish to kill. But it's just nice that they will just walk toward you to their death, where you know the rest of the game is full of Medusa heads and goddamn bats and bone dragons and mummies and the Grim Reaper. It's just nice to be able to whip something. So,
I'd say so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for me, this has come up countless times, but you bring up the word satisfying. I think it's satisfying to finally be able to kill any flying bat or bee-like enemy.
Yeah.
It's getting it where you actually get to hit it and you murder it and it can't fly around and hit you anymore. That is my favorite thing to do.
I can't blame you. It is
there. It is.
It is satisfying. It's satisfying like the one in five times where you actually manage to kill one of those things before it hits you.
Right. Where like even if you know it's coming, it doesn't always work. If you can just time it right, get that flying kick or that shot off, and just smash it.
Yeah.
End its existence.
Well, Brisket, how about you? Did you get any emails?
I did indeed. I got an email, and the subject says, "To my future husband."
Oh.
Oh, no.
And they wrote, "Dear Huelhauser."
Oh, boy.
"I'm good with the Lord. I'm fine with him. And I know how you were raised, all right? And I know how people think out there. And, well, it's got to be that way. they've got to tell you that thou shall not kill and all that. But that's not the way the world works, Yule, because I'm out there every day living it. Who knows what God wants? People kill each other every day, and for what? Hmm? For politics? For religion? And they're heroes. No, no. There's a lot of stuff I can't do anymore. But killing's not one of them. And letting those bastards go out and rape someone else isn't either. I'm not a bad person. What? I'm a real good person, all right? So don't feel bad. It's life, Yule. People like you and me go down every day. But not us, all right? Hey, it's almost over. Look at this cash we got. This is everything. Everything you ever wanted. Just a little more in a car, and we're out of here. We have a shot, Huel. We have a shot at a real life, not this, a real one. Sincerely, the future Mrs. Huelhauser. P.S. What is your favorite and or original currencies in a video game?
Oh. Interesting.
What?
It's kind of a strange question. I looked some up ahead of time, just to get an idea flowing.
Mm-hmm.
So currencies in video games. I mean, usually you got gold, but yep. If in the Breath of Fire series, you have Zinni.
Yeah.
In Final Fantasy, you have a currency which sounds like the name of a distant relative named Gil.
Oh, yes, he's on the Samsons. He sells things.
Yeah.
He works every job in town.
in Steve, your favorite series, Suikoden, they have Potch.
Yeah.
Are we allowed to answer?
I'm just going through a couple of them. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Yule.
Well, it's hard to avoid it, but bottle caps in Fallout.
Yep, bottle caps, Fallout.
It's a big go-to.
Of course. That's a good one.
It's a unique New York right there.
The human torch was denied. Thank you.
That's probably, I was going through a list, and I think that's probably the most original one. Like, it fits the theme of the world. And
exactly.
And it's not just a generic, you know, coin.
Mm-hmm. Because it's like, it's a thing that, while common enough, it would still be rare to have value, you know, mm-hmm. as something that would last a nuclear apocalypse. Like, they had to find something that was common but not too common to use as a currency. Yeah.
I mean, that's why we use gold and silver and all that. It's just because it's a semi-rare material, and you
right.
put an arbitrary value upon that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I think I like the just imagining the background of how that came to be. It just adds a lot to the world.
Yeah, even cooler is, I mean, not cooler, but part of the world building is that you see all the pre-war money just sitting around unused.
Yeah, exactly. Just cloth.
Yeah.
And you can trade it for like 3 caps, like a huge stack of hundreds. Because you can use it for cloth.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, in Fallout 3, I think you do get like 7 caps per thing of pre-war money. But it does make it sound like it is a bundle as opposed to, like, you know, 120 or something like that. I don't know. I'm kind of boring Brisket, but because of all the weird and horrible translations of RPG money, like the Zinnies and the Potch, I kind of like when a game just says dollars, or this is yen or money.
Mm-hmm. So it's very original.
I know it's a good answer. I mean, the best one to me is Earthbound. I really like Earthbound in that respect.
Yeah, you got dollars.
Yeah, although it did sadly take me a longer time to realize. Oh, the amount of money your father sends you in the ATM is based on how many monsters you kill and what types of monsters. Not, you know, you can't just, if you just wait 5 hours in the game, he won't just send you more money. So. it is like a conventional RPG in that respect.
Where would rupees fall on this list?
Rupees That's a solid choice. That was probably going to be my choice as a rupee. Yeah,
because it is an actual currency.
It is an actual currency. Yes,
it's not used the same way in the game. It's just a bunch of different crystal things.
Mm-hmm.
So, It's a little column A, little column B.
Mm-hmm. So I got two more in my list. So in every science fiction game ever created, you have space credits.
Yeah.
Credits, of course, yes.
And in Street Fighter, the movie, the game, you have bison dollars.
Yes. Do they pop up in the game?
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh, too bad. From the movie.
That would have been great. Bison bucks are the best.
I mean, credits do kind of make sense, though. If you're, if you're a spacefaring galactic civilization, it makes sense that you would have digitized money in a way.
Oh, it makes total sense. And eventually, when all of our economies combine and we all run on the same currency, it would be something like credits. We wouldn't have dollars anymore. There would be no yen. We just have credits.
Yeah.
It's generic numbers. Mm-hmm. Although I did always appreciate in The Sims, they called them simoleons.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
That's a good old slang pun.
That is clever. And also, Secret of Evermore, which we've mentioned a few times here. It's odd for a Super Nintendo RPG. It has four different kinds of currency.
But it makes sense, though.
Yeah.
For the game.
It does make sense in the game. And each time you hit a new civilization, you transfer your money to a new currency. I think you start with like bits of bone, and then you go to is it gold or something in the next one, Brisket?
Yeah.
And the end currency is space credits, I want to say. Mm-hmm. But unlike a lot of these, it is fair. Like if you like space credits trade for tons of bone, so it's an equal comparison. So you don't ever actually lose money. It's just that prices kind of trend upward and you don't realize it. So the game is pretty nifty in that respect. So mm-hmm. That is also on our list for some point.
Yeah, it's a short list of an RPG game.
Yep.
I got to give credit to my future wife for such a great ask.
I hope you'll get to meet that magical lady at some point.
Clearly she's very smart.
Yeah. Well, I received one email. Hey guys, hope I'm on the show soon. Are you going to ask me my favorite Mario Kart character? Also, I love the Duck Hunt show. It reminded me of other fancy controller games in the arcade. Did you ever play any of those? Like Terminator 2 or Daytona USA or Skee Ball? Second time, long time, Matty Boy.
Oh, Matty. Oh, if only we could have him on one day.
I hope we do. I mean, I don't want to promise anything.
He just keeps narrowly escaping our scheduling, so.
Yeah.
Hope he can get here.
I hope so, too.
For this ask, this ties into a tale from the arcade.
Oh!
It's not really a tale, but it was just from my time at the arcade. We had the Silent Scope game.
Oh, yeah. The sniper
full,
rifle.
Yes,
yeah.
The full-sized sniper controller. Mm-hmm. And I played the crap out of that one with free coins.
Oh my god,
that's a fun one.
That was really fun. Yeah, because you would see the full screen in front of you, and you could like see the full view of what you have, and then you could like point out an enemy, mm-hmm. or like you could see it in the distance on like a bridge or whatever. And you would actually move the rifle and use the scope on the rifle itself to zoom in, and it would be like a mini screen inside the scope, mm-hmm. so where you could see the zoomed in sniper vision. And it was really fun.
That's a good periff right there.
That is an amazing periff. A very complicated periff.
Huel, in your capacity as an esteemed employee of the arcade, did games like that break down way more frequently than some of the other games, or
were they mostly
pretty sturdily built?
That one, I think, was a solid, very well-made game.
Oh.
We did have a few racers that would break and stuff like that. Like the wheels would get all effed up, but
oh yeah, yeah.
At any given time, probably 20% of our games were out of order.
Oh, I feel like that's pretty normal for an arcade. Yeah. Though.
Well, maybe more. I don't know. I'm just trying to think of the state that most of the arcade was in at any time. So
maybe not. You know, you were kind of a mob front a little bit. So
yeah, we were a legitimate business.
In the arcade, well, I, you know, Matty Boy mentioned Skee Ball. I like me some Skee Ball in those basketball games.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah.
But Time Crisis was always my game in the arcade.
Oh yeah. That's a solid choice.
Another go-to favorite.
Yeah. It mixed, you know, it was just a normal gun for those games, except that the later ones had this weird kind of machine gun that I didn't like as much. But it had the step pedal, and the step
That's
pedal.
The thing.
Yeah, now that was good.
You had a little strategy into your gunplay.
The action pedal, I believe.
Oh, yeah, exactly. No, that was fun, and I do have the home version of Time Crisis 2 and Time Crisis 3 for the PlayStation 2. And that it doesn't have the step pedal, it has a button on the gun that you can use to go into
Yeah,
cover.
I had it on Dreamcast and it had the same thing, a button on the gun.
Yeah, it's good, but it's not quite as good as the arcade.
Just doesn't feel the same.
No, of course not.
Should have come with a little pad, like a little mini DDR pad.
Who could have ever thought of an innovation like that?
Nintendo in 1983.
Yeah.
And that relates to my answer for this question.
Whoop.
And I would say the most fun I've had in an arcade on a perith is stomping around on those arrows on the Dance Dance Revolution machines.
There it is.
Yeah. You danced your way to revolution.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Brought down the regime.
Yeah. So it's a good time. Good time.
I only ever played that game in college, but that does remind me of what we actually played more of in college, which I'm not sure why we got into this, but we played Big Buck Hunter.
Ooh, a great perif.
I've never played that. I've seen it in the arcade.
Really?
But never appealed to me.
I thought everyone played that.
It was so hick, I think, that we couldn't resist it. And it was like the voiceover was some southern guy, and he's like, "Oh, yeah, that's a nice 72-point buck.
That's a sexy looking buck right there."
Mm-hmm. Pretty much. So it was fun. I mean, for some reason, also that game did not have a limit on how many times you could fire the shotgun.
What?
Yeah, so you could.
But the deers would run away when you fired, right?
Yeah, but you could just keep firing at them. Yeah. Like, that was my method, because I suck at kind of sniper rifle games. I would just shotgun blast them, like, repeatedly. You get far less points for using that method, as opposed to just a clean shot to the head that saves the meat. But that was the game's justification as well. So, and it would also, by the way, it would tell you the weight of the deer you got. Except they're and act as if, oh, well, good on you for getting that big giant deer. Except it's not like you could wait for like bigger deer. Like, you know, you basically got a shot at one per scene in the game. So it was a little weird.
Maybe they're trickier.
Yeah, you gotta get that giant buck in just the right spot. All right. Well, on that note, Brisket, did you have anything else you wanted to add here before we signed off?
Yeah, this is a serious topic here. I just wanted to say I will kill anyone who helps the Strolites.
Mm. Oh, it's no laughing matter. I don't know why I laughed. Huel, what about you?
You may think it is too severe, but it is necessary.
Oh, goodness, teaching me a lesson.
Mm-hmm. Teaches you to laugh.
On that note, here's a snifferoo from next week's game, which is also about vengeance and justice. And here we go.
This Halloween, what began as a riddle will become video history.
Riddle me this.
What was 1995's top grossing movie?
Riddle me that.
Who had the biggest opening weekend in movie history?
Who's afraid of the big black bat?
What do Val Kilmer, Jim Carrey, Tommy Lee Jones, Nicole Kidman, Chris O'Donnell, and Drew Barrymore have in common?
I will help you solve the greatest riddle of all.
Batman Forever, exploding onto video for just $19.96.
Let's start this party with a bang!
In an uncertain world, in a chaotic time. Justice wears a mask.
Lois Lane and Jimmy Olsen have been kidnapped. Who will save the day? You are Superman. All the powers are yours. Flight, heat vision, super speed, super strength, freezing breath, and X-ray vision. Buy early and receive a DC Comics Collector's Edition Superman comic book. Superman, the new adventures video game.